The Lab on Digital Societies.
Welcome to our very first academic podcast, in which researchers from Digital Economy Lab explore all things related to digital technology and society. My name is Marta Kołodziejska, and I am the assistant professor at the Faculty of Sociology, University of Warsaw, and also a researcher at Digital Economy Lab. And my main research focus is on digital religion and mediatization, hence the topic for today. And it is my great pleasure to introduce Professor Kerstin Rade-Anweiler, who is a professor of religious studies and deputy spokesperson of the TEMKI at the University of Bremen, Germany. And her work focuses on religion in times of deep mediatization, mediatization theory, video gaming, and ritual studies. So her recent publications include The Handbook of Journalism and Religion, published in 2020, and Mediatized Religion in Asia, published in 2019. She is also the editor-in-chief with Professor Ksenia Zeiler of GameVironments, a journal focused on video games, religion, and gaming. So welcome, Kerstin.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Great to have you. Today, together, we will discuss this recent phenomenon, recent more or less, that took the Polish internet by storm. This was the Catholic Mass organized by the players and for the players of Roblox. So those of you who aren't familiar with Roblox, it is an online, free-to-play, kind of a game sandbox and platform developed by US-based Roblox Corporation. And basically, it allows users to program their own games, create those game worlds, and play together. So play games created by other users. It allows you to create games on different levels of complexity. And interestingly, the Catholic masses that were organized, you can watch them on YouTube, these kind of events happened in different countries as well. So it's not just a Polish phenomenon, but there were also other countries or players from other countries that did the same. And these Catholic masses reflected actual places like existing archdioceses, for instance, existing churches, buildings. And also, according to several experts, they were excellent reconstructions of what actually goes on during Mass. So everything was in the right order, all the key segments were there, the hymns and the prayers, everything was tip-top, so to speak. So we can see it in some way, maybe as a form of mimicry, reenactment of sorts, or just play. But here's the big but. In one of the YouTube channels where you can actually watch those services, the caption says the following thing. This is translated from Polish. Our group effort operates on a role-play basis where we strive to maintain a native church experience and preach in accordance with the doctrines and spirituality of the Catholic Church. Our mission is to lead the faithful to the revelation of God's love for each person and salvation. So this opens up, I suppose, a lot of space for discussion. And so my first question to you, Kerstin, and sort of how I would like our discussion to start, is to think about the boundary between this kind of role play, something that kids would do to reenact family roles or cartoon characters, very similar process. So the boundary between that and actual form of religious practice or meaning making. How can we draw the boundary? Can we draw the boundary? What would you say?
Thank you for this really interesting question. And I have to, in a way, reframe it. And because from an analytical or scientific perspective, I would always ask the gamers or the players themselves, how would they draw especially the boundaries, if there is a boundary at all? And we can see this also in these old discussion about this is just digital or this is non-digital, coming from the digital religion research. And here it was really interesting because the researcher were quite more traditional or reluctant to really see, oh, this isn't serious business. However, the actors themselves, just for them, it was really serious business and it was a kind of religious practice. And here I would just throw the question, so to speak, not to me, but to the gamers themselves. For whom is it a religious practice, and why do they perform it within these digital environments or with these gaming environments? For what reasons? What is a surplus for them? Why don't, for example, what is different going to church? And here we can see also from my own research, there is a really variety of different perspectives in a way, because for a lot of gamers, it's just for fun. It's a kind of role playing. For example, if you have the so-called Middle Ages and the story with from the game is settled within the Middle Ages, of course, there has to be the nasty and the bad Pope, who is the power man behind all the struggles. And though this is more a kind of decoration. So religion plays a part, but it's more like a narrative decoration. However, we have in a lot of other role-playing games and also games that if people are spending a lot of time together, and we are speaking here an average of around 4 to 6 hours a day sometimes for people, not only children, but also for older people, then of course also their private interests and their hobbies or their what is important for them in life comes also as part of the game. And then we come back to these rituals. And I think this is a really fascinating case, because I never saw that from really children or younger age people, that they really make a lot of effort to really creating such an environment. And from what I saw, but it was only in Polish, so it was a bit difficult for me. But the people are really also sitting there, were a bit quiet, and also listening to what the organizer of this event, let me put it like this, really speak to them. And this was fascinating. So I would just throw the question back. It's a little bit unsatisfaction, but it is to really ask them, what do they think about it?
And well, kind of a follow-up question that came to my mind was the issue that these are very young people, right? And of course, I'm not sure about Germany. I hope you can shed some light on that. But in Poland, young generations are the least religious ones. So they practice the least. They consider themselves sort of least believing. In all recent studies, last year, there was this huge publication in Poland saying that Polish youth is secularizing the most. Of course, we have a high or tall horse to fall down from, because obviously Poland, but still this was surprising for many people that these were kids who most likely do not go to actual churches so eagerly, right? Or stop going to religious education. And yet when they have the chance to do that online, they are very eager to, as you said, and as I've mentioned before, do like a very accurate and serious in tone representation, right? These are not jokes like, ha ha ha, stupid Pope, stupid priest or whatever, but they are actually doing everything as you would normally in a church. What do you think about this issue that we have these young people, kids essentially, because they are what, 9, 10, 12, who are not so eager to go to church and practice organized religion, but then they are very precise about these online, well, let's call them rituals for now, with the big caveat that we don't know.
I think this was for me the most surprising observation, because they were really young, but probably this has something to do. I mean, it's a quite recent phenomenon and we don't know how the whole mediatization process due to pandemic situation plays as or comes in. I mean, what we really know is that also younger persons, let me put it like this, probably 9 to 12, they found it serious in a way, but when they're not forced to. And this is an interesting point, because in a non-digital environment, mostly the children are forced to go to church from their parents or from whatever, or the society speaks about this. And if they have the freedom to choose what they want to do, then it's really an interesting observation. Then religion comes in a most surprising way. And of course, you can say, yes, it's really traditional and it's more like a mirroring or a mirror of the non-digital way how a service or a mass is performed. However, we have to keep in mind that this is not it's not something new in a way, that especially digital rituals or rituals within a digital environment are really conservative because the environment is so new. So it's kind of to be recognizable as a religious ritual or as a ritual itself, in the beginning, they're really more traditional. And I mean, if you just imagine what you can do, I mean, you have all the options in the world to do whatever you want to do in the digital environment. And then they're coming with these kind of really traditional, kind of boring things. And you said, this is surprising. But in the end, if you can see in the start, they are really more traditional, but then they evolve into something different because then the people got used to these kind of digital rituals. And probably you can see here a starting point. And for me, it was really interesting to see, in contrast to all these polls, where we can really see, okay, religion doesn't play such a big role anymore today. However, if people have the freedom, and probably we are speaking here about the individualization in contrast to an organized religion, then they're quite eager to integrate it in as a part of their daily life, so to speak. Probably this would, so I would go into this direction to say, yes, this is surprising, but nevertheless, it's quite an old phenomena also with more adults that religion plays a part also in gaming or digital environments such as Roblox, but also other things we know. But at the beginning, it's conservative because it functions like a mirror, but then it gets more creative. And of course, it plays a role. Still today, it plays a role.
Yeah, so maybe we'll see that this also evolves over time, no? That what started as this kind of very sort of one-to-one reenactment might end up being something, unconventional or in some ways customized, right, to whatever the kids actually want. But what I also thought was that the fact that they can do it themselves also is empowering, no? So because they are not just sitting in the pews and listening to some boring priest or whatever, but they actually have something to say. So they create their own, you could say their own version of the ritual, right? Where they are doing it and not just sitting and repeating what the priest says, but I guess it's kind of nice to be on the other side, maybe from time to time.
Yeah, and not only nice. I think you perfectly labeled it as a kind of empowerment. I think it's really important that people empower themselves to perform their rituals, even if it's more like mirroring the actual rituals within the organized religion settings. However, they have the agency. It's really about the agency, about their own beliefs and about their own religious performances and in this sense also rituals. So it's not only an individualization or a privatization, but it's really about also giving power to lay people or getting power to lay people with this or with these digital tools in a way.
Coming back to another question then, because you talked a little bit about privatization, individualization, but can you also see it as a form of public visibility of religion, or let's say a different presence, different form of presence of religion in the public sphere, or you would not label it as such, but something else?
I think it's difficult to speak about, is there a new visibility? Probably there is a new visibility for us researchers, because otherwise these kind of religious acts or performances were already there, but more in private. But now getting into a kind of public and visible environment, also other people can see it. And of course, they connect with each other. I mean, this is a big advantage of having digital tools. You can be worldwide. You can connect to people from Poland to Germany to the US or whatever. You can find also people have the same belief system or have the same interests as you, and you may connect all the time worldwide. However, I think the whole thing about private and visible or public is a kind of problematic shift, because it's nothing that it's really in the public discourse at the moment. Of course, this kind of this specific case studies is now probably in the media discourse, because everybody said, "Wow, what an interesting case study." However, let me put it like this: I think that religion was invisible in the time before. Of course, organized religion, but I think probably in the family, and we also know it from the history of religions, where we, of course, for example, here in the old Jewish and the so-called Old Testament times, that of course we have the public or the experts' opinion, because they are dogmas, or they were the one who could write something which was preserved all over the time. But we can we have also kind of hints that there was a aspect of private religion, in a way that, of course, within the families there were also other forms of ritual going on. So probably yes, it is visible, especially for us researchers, and probably it's visible again, but more in a way that it connects more people who probably beforehand don't have the possibility to get connected. But I'm a little bit cautious about now there's a new visibility of religion, and I don't think probably it was always the case, but it wasn't so visible for us as resources, in a way, because we don't have access to how people or how children, for example, are playing in their non-digital way, if they are doing this in a way. We don't know this yet.
You've mentioned that, if I understand you correctly, that this is not, well, of course, we know that this is not just the case of Roblox, right? That these things happened way before the recent media news. So could you say or give some examples of like what you've observed in your work on religion and gaming, for like what kind of cases you, or maybe like those that you remember as the most interesting, because I know there have been hundreds, so we don't have that much time. But yeah, there must have been something that stood out or you found that's interesting.
So probably I can you different or can you tell examples from different levels or layers, so to speak. So for example, games were used, and I mean, we're speaking of times of deep mediatization, but I would go so far to say it's also a gametized life worlds at the moment. We can see this also in kind of university, how you learn languages, for example. It's really in the direction of gametization. And also, for example, the religious organizations. So we're speaking of the really most conservative when it comes to media usage. But they also use games more and more. For example, in their teaching about different saints or the story of the Bible, we see in the last probably 5 years, let me put it like this, that they're, especially in Europe, the US is a bit a different case study, with a different case, that they're really more engaged in developing a kind of gametized learning environment for their own believers. So this is one small segment, and this is really interesting to see what kind of games they're using. Is it more violent or whatever? And it's more conservative in a way that it's really about learning so-called serious games. In the US, for example, this is really not a recent phenomenon, but especially smaller groups, religious groups, I think around 15 to 20 years, all these kind of different games for proselation, for example, to have missions. For example, in World of Warcraft, one of the, I think the most classical example for online games, also role-playing games, there are really groups who are just using this game to get in contact with other people and just to show their belief, discuss their belief systems. And we can see it here. It's kind of starting. I know only a case study from Germany, from the Protestant church here, these are mostly individuals or individual persons, for example, theologian, who are gamers themselves, who are using this environment also to attract the younger generation, because I know this is their main digital tool or their hobby. And if you're looking to the studies, how many people are playing or playing games, then it's a really a logical step. So they're using it, but it's more recent than, for example, than the US. And of course, we have, and I would distinguish a bit between these classical games with a concrete mission, you have quests, it's really a game, or more or less the digital environments. And I think Roblox is also probably more in a digital environment. And we have this also in Second Life, for example. This was also a huge success, I think around 15 to 12 years before. And there we see, interesting as a side effect, the churches or religion and prostitution were the most, they were the first to use these kind of environments to get people engaged in a really, really different way, for sure. But this was quite interesting. And there, for example, the Anglican Church used this environment quite a lot and were really attractive. And a lot of people went there. And then we have, of course, also other like Church of Fools. Probably this is the most classical example also from the from Great Britain, who just developed their own digital environment. And there were, I mean, this was a 3 months a test project, and it was so successful, and it lasted for years, and it was totally overwhelmed with their experiences there. So we have a lot of different example, and probably one last example from an individual person. I did a lot of research in gaming, and what always struck me is, in a way, it's quite similar, that if people are spending a lot of time together, they are bringing automatically their private life in. And for example, I did research on wedding rituals, and you can say, of course, I mean, they're just marrying themselves. But it was quite earnest. I mean, it was really serious business for them. I did a lot of interviews. And then you have so-called secular marriage ritual, but there are also a lot of really classical weddings who were conducted in a church. Also, it was really clear that the person from this avatar who married them was a pastor, mostly from the US, because they're more free to do so. In the Roman Catholic context, it's too complicated even now. But for me, it was really interesting to see, and this connects me to your first case study, that people want to bring their private life in. So just to give you a call, some case studies.
About the Church of Fools phenomenon, because it was, I think, one of the first of these, right? That were just, this was a project and they wanted to see how that goes. And I think eventually there was an Anglican church that actually joined, wasn't there? Yeah, so they had some institutional support. In the case of Roblox, it's a different story. The Catholic Church in Poland says, this is not the real Archdiocese of Wrocław. This is not the real Archdiocese of something else, which is, I think, a different approach maybe to these spaces. But why do you think then people, especially young people, we've said something about this, but maybe to just put a dot on it, why people might be interested in doing these things, except for just fun and spending time together, these kind of religious, well, let's call them rituals for the sake of the discussion. Why?
Interesting point. And here again, like in the beginning, I would say we have to ask the people, because I mean, we can only observe it is important for them. It is, and it's a kind of serious business. I mean, we have also these kind of fun things about, we're doing a service, but we are crashing it. And we also observed it in other gaming environments. It's more like a critical perspective on religion. But here, I would really like to ask the people. I can't say really seriously something about these specific case studies because I didn't interview them. But for these things I did research on, it was always that this is an important life, but they don't that an important part of their lives, religion, but more as they labeled it, not as part of an organized religion. So the people, from my perspective, from what I can say is that they really want to be, they want to have the power over their own religion, and this is also the point why also there were power struggles between the organized religion and these kind of ritual activity or religious activities, however we would call them. I mean, depending also on the definition of religion. But of course, for the churches, let's say for the Roman Catholic Church, I mean, it's an it could be a problem because they don't have the power over the organization of these rituals. And here now children can conduct the services and probably a person performing this as well have their kind of agency. So, but this is something for this, which can lead to power struggles or to struggles or to problematic issues with the organized or the church or church's organization. But from my research, it was always the case. Religion is an important part of my life. And of course, if I'm spending a lot of time in these digital environments, it's like spending a lot of time with a sports hobby or something like that, but like football or soccer. Of course, I'm getting close relationships to a relationship to other people, and of course then religion comes in.
Yes, for me this is very interesting how it seems obvious, but it's actually an important case in point, so to speak, no? That if people spend a lot of time in an environment, whatever that is, it's inevitable that they will share parts of their private lives and identities, and if religion is part of that, then obviously it will transfer to other contexts.
Probably, just to jump in one time, I mean, it's really I don't know the case here with Roblox and the children. I mean, it could be also the case that people, especially in this age, are testing their identity, also their religious identity. And this is then a platform for them to just experience or to test what is right, what is wrong. So this could be because this is a really special age segment we are speaking of. So probably this is a kind of an exception. I can only tell you from my observation with adults. So I'm a little bit cautious to just put it exactly on this case study, just to be clear.
Oh, I expect, because let me just check, because I have an article from Aletheia. And basically, they had the same observation or about Roblox for the Vatican City State. There's actually a Vatican City State of Roblox where you have religious services in the beautiful Sistine Chapel. And there are also some other countries, I think the US, that also have these kind of events on Roblox. So I believe that since this is going to be, or it seems like a kind of a global phenomenon in the sense it's not confined to Poland, there will be some studies sooner or later.
Yeah, probably. I mean, what is really interesting also, just to just give you another example, the churches, for example, in Germany, but also in other, for example, the Vatican started with just with representation of their museums, for example, and also their holy places as churches, etc. And then they recognized, or the researchers recognized, that these originally planned as a kind of exhibition or like a museum, but these places were used also as religious places for people conduct their rituals within this. So it was, I mean, and this is the also a part, of course, people are for example building the Vatican City or other places, but we don't know, we have to distinguish between the intention of the builders. In a way, is it just for museums, or is it just that, for example, we have in Second Life the whole Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem, and everything was built. And mostly for the main builder, it was really to say, yes, we want to just reproduce it so the people don't have to travel to Jerusalem, for example, but they can see it here. But it doesn't, or they didn't intend to have any religious motivations. However, the gamers are just using these places for their own religious experience. So I think we have to distinguish here between what were the intentions of those people who built it, or the people who attended these buildings. This is interesting in itself.
Yeah, very much so. But I guess this would call for an interview, Paul, which is, yeah, everyone listening in, if you want to research that, here is a great opportunity. I have two more questions for you, and one of them is more about so coming back to the general theme of religion and games and gaming, are religious symbols, in your opinion, from your research experience, so are religious symbols and meanings a common theme in video games or online games in general? If yes, in what context did you see them?
I would say in the majority of games, there you can find religious symbols. I mean, of course, not on FIFA, for example. This is more about sports. But even there, I mean, depending on the definition of ritual, but nevertheless. So yes, there are a lot of religious symbols. And I think the main, or we always stress as doing research on gaming and religion, that you have to be cautious why, what is the intention of using these symbols and how were they perceived. For example, in media-focused research on gaming and religion, there was a lot of, and there still is a lot of researchers going on to say, now we have here a baptism, for example, or a religious cross or whatever. And here you can see this is religious. And it, of course, also the gamers are seeing this as religious. And I was always cautious, and I did a lot of interviews, and the people didn't recognize these religious symbols at all, for example, or that it was just not important for them. So because you have also the gamers are saying, yeah, but this is just a game, and this is no place for religious activity, for so-called serious business. This is especially the case when this is a short game. In a way, it's not an open world. You're spending a single player, of course. I mean, this is then just for giving you the narrative when the narrative is connected to religion. This is often the case, mostly in a more negative way, to be honest. For example, the assassins or the Templars, or I mean the typical enemies. If it's not the Russian or the Germans, Nazis or whatever, yeah, you can really see the development of the different constructions of enemies. And there's a lot of religious enemies, which plays an important role. You can see it in the TV series as well. So this is one case, but the other in more open world, where the people are can do whatever they want to do, then more really, I would say, as their own religious experiences come in. And in other games, it's really a kind of decorational aspect, I would say so.
Mm-hmm. So they don't really maybe pay attention to that as religious, right? If they just play, their objective is to kill the Pope, it doesn't matter.
I mean, there's huge discussions between different schools or approaches, so to speak. So this is a ludic approach, and to say the narrative is useless in a way, because the people just click, and if the quest has a different narrative, yeah, but the point is to kill a specific number of whatever. If it's now religiously framed or not. And then there is a narratological approach, and this is, of course, takes more consideration. The narrative is important for this. And of course, I mean, you can see that it influences our gamers as well. Of course, also within their perception of religion as such.
And so I think this kind of ties in nicely with the theoretical lens. So you, as an expert in the field, could probably give us some information on the most, in your opinion, or adequate or most commonly used theoretical lens that are deployed to analyze religion and games and gaming nowadays. What are their main focus, if you will?
I think the field, even if it's small, it's quite diverse. Let me put it like this. It depends on the methods you're using. And of course, also the methods are connected to certain theories. I think at the moment, you can observe that the field is broadened, and broadened in a way that it's not only on the games themselves, but also I would always call it the game related actors within the field. For example, if it's so you have the whole franchise about it, how people are discussing, for example, in forums about the game, about their values, and of course also for example, in Let's Play videos when gamers are showing how they play the game and then there is a huge discussion. So they're broadening the field in a way it's not only focused on the specific game anymore, but also to people, for example, that are related to, for example, the churches also. And I have a nice example here, but it's a quite old game. And one of the churches, the Anglican Church, and within the game, it was a classical shooter, and you were in one of the cathedral, and you can shoot zombies there. And the Anglican Church, surprisingly, wasn't really amused about it and say, nah, this is a problem for us. However, then they wanted to sue Sony. And then they just re-evaluated the whole thing because they saw that there were a lot of tourists coming because of the game to their churches. Because then, I mean, this is something you can also observe, for example, in countries like Nepal, because there are a lot of or some games who have the Nepal environment, and then people are coming to this. So the field is getting bigger, for your field of research objects. So also gaming-related persons are coming now into the focus. And the other thing is, but this is more like a personal thing, that religion is also broadened, and we would be speaking more of value formations, for example, because what you can observe is that religion as a topic doesn't play such a huge role, for example, in discussions. However, and you can say, okay, religion is out, then we have nothing to do, bye bye. However, what we can observe is that there are a lot of discussions about certain values. Why is it allowed to shoot a child or not, or whatever? And then from in the back door, so to speak, religion comes in, and religion more in a sense of morals and ethics. And this is another, I would say, at the moment, another direction where a lot of researching is heading to, that it's more that it opens the perspective not only on religion, for example, not organized religion, but more like it broadening to the value. And of course, not only the game, but the whole gaming franchise. So I would say these are the two directions in a way. And of course, then all theoretical concepts like privatization, mediatization comes in a way.
So I guess with cases like Roblox, it's not necessarily something new as such, but it's probably another, let's say, aspect of the ongoing phenomenon, right, of the religion and religious practices changing maybe their place in society, also in sort of human understanding also of what religion is. So I think you might agree that whatever we see it as, it's still a fascinating thing to observe. We leave our listeners with that thought. Thank you so much, Kerstin. My guest today was Professor Kerstin Rade-Antweiler from Zemke Bremen. My name is Marta Kołodziejska, and we do hope you enjoyed this podcast. For more coming series, tune in on our website. Thank you so much.
The Lab on Digital Societies.